Our Old Covenant reading this evening is from Psalm 119. We'll be reading verses 9 through 16 together. This is the word of our God. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Here ends our Old Covenant reading. New Covenant reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 11 through 16 together this evening. The word of the Lord. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. The life and ministry of the Christian is to be marked by faithfulness. By faithfulness. The words that every Christian should desire to hear from the Lord are, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, what does it mean to be faithful to the Lord in life and in ministry? Whatever that may look like for each and every one of us. What does it look like? What does faithfulness look like? Well, I think probably the best example of this is the parable that Jesus told about three servants, often called the parable of the talents, because each servant was given a certain number of talents or a certain sum of money. So what happens in this parable is that the master goes on a long journey and he gives to each of these servants different amounts of money. Well, the first two servants, they take that money and they use it to work for the cause of their master. They are laboring for the cause of their master. They are not working for themselves. The third servant does nothing. He doesn't work. He doesn't labor. And of course, what happens in the end of the story is the master returns and he demands an account from those servants. And the question really is, have you been faithful? What have you done with the money that I entrusted you with? And the first two servants come and they say, look, this is your money that you gave to us, and here is the money that we earned for you. We've been working for you. Well, the third servant comes and he says, well, I didn't do anything. And he is punished. The first two servants are rewarded. What does this parable teach us about faithfulness? Well, it teaches us that no matter what our gifts or our calling may be, no matter how big or small our calling is, we must work and labor for the cause of the Master. Here in 1 Timothy 4, verses 11 through 16, Paul is calling Timothy to this kind of faithfulness in his life and his ministry. He's saying, Timothy, this is what you are called to do. You are called to labor for the cause of Christ, not for yourself. You can't do nothing, like in the parable of the talents, the third servant. You must do something and you must work and labor for the cause of Jesus Christ. Timothy is being called to live and teach the gospel. And you know, at this point as Timothy is hearing this, right, you can almost feel for him, because part of him is going, okay, I'm supposed to be faithful, but how do I do this? Right? Like Paul, you can't just, you got to actually give me some steps here to faithfulness. Well, what's amazing about Paul is I think Paul anticipates this very thing from Timothy. He anticipates that Timothy might say, okay, well, show me how to be faithful. And in verse here in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, I think what Paul is doing is he is giving Timothy steps towards faithfulness in his life and in his ministry. He He's saying, Timothy, you are called to live and teach the gospel, and this is how you are to do it. This is how you are to go about being faithful in life and ministry. Timothy is to live and teach the gospel. What does that look like? What does this faithfulness look like? This is what Paul wants to show Timothy in these few verses here, and this is what we will look at together this evening. So first, Timothy is called to live and teach the gospel. He is called to faithfulness by word and by example. He is called to live and teach the gospel by word and by example. Look with me again at verses 11 through 12. Paul says to Timothy, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Timothy's teaching must have authority. He is not supposed to stand up and make suggestions, right? This is the idea, I think, of what Paul is driving at. Timothy, don't get up in front of the church and say, you know, guys, I think it would be a good idea. Paul's saying, no, command and teach with authority. That's a big responsibility. And it might be a little bit daunting to someone like Timothy. But here's the thing. Timothy can teach and command because the authority that he has is not authority from himself. What he is commanding and what he is teaching is what the Word of God commands and teaches. The authority comes from God himself speaking through the pages of Scripture. Timothy is to be simply the messenger who commands what God commands, who teaches what God's Word teaches. This is Timothy's task, but the authority comes from the Word. Now, there's two very brief things that this teaches us. The first one is that Timothy must be a person who knows the Scripture. And we'll talk about this a little bit more, because Paul gets into that more as the verses go on. But Timothy, if he is going to command and teach what God says, he must first know what God says. Second thing that this teaches us is that Timothy must be willing, very simply, to open his mouth. He can't remain silent. He cannot show up into the Ephesian church and sit down in the pew, because that's not his calling. He has to stand up. He has to declare the truth of what God is saying. As he knows the Word of God, he must be willing to speak the Word of God to God's people. Now, I think there's a very obvious application here, and that is that it applies directly to pastors and elders. It applies directly to those of us who have been tasked with teaching the Word of God to the people of God. But this applies to the rest of believers as well. You know, for some of you are parents, and this applies to you as parents. You are in a teaching capacity. You are called to teach your children. And so you must know the Word of God and teach it to them. But this goes even further, doesn't it? It applies to every situation of every believer. The gospel spreads as we, the people of God, open our mouths and declare the Word of God to whomever we meet. We might be hesitant to share the gospel with friends and relatives. You know, I think this is especially true as we come toward holiday season. You may be spending some time with unsaved relatives or unsaved friends, people that don't necessarily like it when you talk about Christianity. And our reaction might be, well, you know what, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, because after all, who am I to instruct other people? But we must remember, as we lovingly and gently and graciously share the truth of God with unbelieving friends or relatives, we are not speaking on our own authority. We are not presenting ourselves to other people. We are speaking on the authority of God's Word, and we are calling people to respond to God. What we want for them is we want them to know this God and Savior that we know. And so we are desiring their best. We're desiring to promote their welfare and their good. Command and teach these things, Paul says. What are these things that Paul is talking about? What is it that Timothy is supposed to be commanding and teaching and promoting in his ministry? Well, I think, you know, very simply, it's what Paul has been saying up to this point. You'll remember as we looked at chapter 4 that the Ephesian believers are living in the later times. They are living in the times when some will depart from the faith. And so as Christians living in these later times when people will not endure sound doctrine, when they will depart from the faith, the Ephesian believers are being called to hold firmly to the truth of the gospel. They are being told to receive God's good gifts with thanksgiving, right? What God has created good, God has created, Paul talks about marriage and food, things that God has created good, what God's word has said is good and right. We should receive those things with thanksgiving. Instead of ordering their lives according to the doctrine of men, these believers are called to order their lives according to the word of God. And Timothy is also to teach these believers how to train themselves for godliness. He is to teach them to set their hope on God, who is the Savior of all who believe. These are things that need to be taught and heard on a regular basis. And I think what this teaches us is that there are some things that we need to hear, right? Timothy is to teach these things. These were the things that the Ephesian believers needed to hear. There are some things that we need to hear. And maybe they're a little bit different, but we need to hear them. And so we should never tire of hearing those same truths again and again. We should never tire of hearing again the gospel of Jesus Christ, that hope and that gospel that we cling to. We need to hear those things. We need to be taught them. We need to cling closely to them. Now, what Paul commands Timothy here to teach, and what Paul is instructing Timothy to do, to command and teach these things with authority, this might draw some pushback on account of the fact that Timothy is a younger man. And it's hard to know exactly how old Timothy was. We're obviously not told. Commentators have suggested that this term being used for a young man or a youth could apply to someone in their 30s or close on to 40. That's very possible. It seems to be that would have been around Timothy's age range. In other words, he's not a little kid, like he's not a teenager. But he's younger than a lot of the people that he's being called to minister to, that he's being called to command and teach. And maybe, just maybe, Timothy was a little bit hesitant to teach those older than him. Now, this might seem a little bit strange to us in our culture because, interestingly enough, our culture really prizes youth, right? Like, we almost idolize youth in a strange sort of way. To the point that, you know, we invite teenagers to speak at world summits because we think that they have the knowledge and experience to do that. That's our culture. That's what we live in. But that's probably not Timothy's culture, right? They're probably going, yeah, what does this young guy know? What can he tell us about life? How does he know to teach us and command us these things? Who does this guy really think he is? But notice, Timothy is not to shy away from the fact that he is younger than those that he is teaching. He is to still command and teach. But here's the thing I want you to notice. There's a way that Timothy will overcome any kind of pushback about his age. And that is, he is to show himself mature in his conduct. He is to show himself mature in his conduct. He is to be an example to the believers with whom he lives and ministers. Timothy is to set an example in all of life. I think that's why Paul uses that phrase, speech and conduct. I think it's like two things that sort of encompass the whole. In other words, Paul is saying, Timothy, in all of your life, in every aspect, you are to set an example for the believers. His ministry is to be marked both by sound doctrine and a holy life. He may be young, but his character is to be one of godliness and maturity. And it is his godly character that will give him the authority in his ministry to teach the truth of the gospel. He is to set an example by his love. Paul says, do this with love, love for God and love for neighbor. You know, and the thing about love is love shows up an awful lot in Paul's letters, doesn't it? Like, Paul is almost always concerned that believers show love. Why is that? Well, it's because of what Paul says in Romans 13:10, love fulfills the law. This is how we do what God has called us to do in our lives. It is by our love for God, by our love for others. Timothy is also to set an example by his faith. That is, by believing and obeying God's word. Right? As he calls people to believe and obey the word, they are to point at him and say, that's the man. That's the man who believes and obeys God's word. We will listen to him because he does it first. That's to be his example. He's also to set an example by his purity, that is, by his holiness of life. The way that he lives is to serve as a pattern for others to follow. That's interesting because, in a sense, Timothy is not to present himself, right? He is not the gospel. Jesus Christ is the one that we present people to. But as we point people to Jesus Christ, as we tell them, this is the one who you are to follow, by our example of love, faith, and purity, they are to look at us and say, yes, what these people say is true. Jesus Christ can transform even their lives, so he can transform my life. And that is the example that Timothy is to have. You know, I think of my kids like to draw. And I don't know about you, I'm not very good at drawing. Like, I wouldn't know how to teach them to begin with. So what they do is they go online and they look up YouTube videos and they find an artist who will, like, draw for kids. It's amazing. It's really good stuff. But the thing is that my kids can come out with amazing drawings. Katie's smiling because her kids do the same thing. it's really fun. But the thing about it is they have an example to follow. And when they follow that example, they know what to do. They know how to draw amazing characters from their favorite shows or whatever it may be. That's similar to how the Christian life works, doesn't it? Timothy is to show believers how to live. In other words, there might be people in the Ephesian church who say, I'm not really sure what to do at this situation in my life. But they're to look to Timothy and say, he's a good example to follow. I know what to do because I can follow Timothy's example. This helps them in their Christian life, and it also makes them willing to listen to his teaching and to his instruction. Now, people of God, we are to be that kind of example. As the world watches us, they are to see these people follow Jesus Christ. In their speech and in their conduct, they are those who follow the word of God. They are those who are committed to the teaching of God's word. If you are put in a position where you are called to teach others, then teach them. And teach them by your example. And for all of us, we must be willing to learn from and to follow the examples of other mature believers. All of us need that, right? Like, there's not one of us that can say, I can go it on my own. We all need examples to follow. So yes, we are to be examples, and we are also to follow godly examples. And this is an amazing way, as the people of God, that we build one another up toward holiness and sanctification. Is that together, we look at someone's life and say, you know, maybe I'm not really good in that area. Maybe I need to be more hospitable. And I look at the life of this believer and I say, that's a hospitable person. I'm going to follow their example. Or maybe, you know, maybe I am not as kind as I should be with my speech. But when I talk to this believer, they're so kind in the way that they approach me, in the way that they use their words, that they build me up. I want to follow that example. I want to have speech like that believer. And so together, as the people of God, with our various gifts and abilities, we are able to build one another up, to set an example for one another, so that the world watching might see Jesus Christ. Timothy is called to live and to teach the gospel by word and example. Second, he is called to live and teach the gospel according to the scriptures. Live and teach the gospel according to the scriptures. Look with me again here at verses 13 through 14. Paul writes this. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Now, what Paul has in view here is the public reading and the teaching of Scripture. But I think it points us to the important truth that in order to instruct others from the Scripture, Timothy must first himself be instructed in the Scriptures. And we touched on this in our first point, but I just want to expand on it a little bit here. What is it that will enable Timothy to command and teach the truth with authority? What will enable him to live and teach out the gospel by word and example? What enables him to do this? The thing is it's knowledge of the scriptures. Knowledge of the scriptures. Timothy's ministry of exhortation and teaching flows from the scriptures. Remember, in and of himself, he has no authority. What is he presenting? He's not presenting himself. He's presenting the Word of God, and so he must know the Word of God. As he reads and knows the Scriptures, he will be able to exhort and to teach others. I think this applies to all of life, doesn't it? If you're going to teach someone something, you must first be well acquainted with the material you're trying to teach. Some of you probably know this from like having to train someone else on the job, right? You can't train them if you don't know the job yourself. But when you know it, you're able to teach them. Not too long ago, for fun, I went out and took a tennis lesson. I like tennis. It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun. And the guy that I met up with, the instructor, he was really, really good. And I thought, man, this is the guy I could learn from. And the reason was, he knew tennis. He understood the game. He understood the mechanics of the way that everything worked. Like, how you hold your hand, how you twist your racket, how you turn your body. And I'm going through this with him, and I'm going, this guy knows. He's able to teach because he knows how to do this. So it is with teaching the Scriptures. We have been called to share the message of the gospel with the world. And sometimes we wonder, how do I do that? How do I share the gospel? It seems like a daunting task. But the reality is that what we need most is to be people who are dedicated to knowing the Scriptures. We need to be people dedicated to the Word of God. It is the Scriptures that is able to make us wise to salvation. It is the Scriptures that teach us how we are to glorify and enjoy God. It is the Scriptures that enable us to live and teach the gospel. This is what we need. Now, Paul instructs Timothy to do this, to commit himself to the teaching of Scripture until I come, Paul says. In other words, Paul wants Timothy to be diligent and to continue in his ministry. He can't stop, right? He can't sit down on the sidelines and say, you know what, guys, I'm going to take a break for now. Let's just wait till Paul shows up. When he gets here, he can pick up where I left off. And Paul's saying, no, you must continue to do this until I come. And we don't know what challenges Timothy would have faced in his ministry, but presumably there were challenges. And maybe some of those challenges would have made it tempting for him to stop doing the work of the ministry. Maybe there were moments when Timothy thought, if I could just have a break from this, you know, I would just feel a lot better if I stopped for a while and just took a couple weeks off. And maybe it was tempting for Timothy to think, you know what, I'll just wait till Paul gets here. I'll skip over that part. I'm not gonna bring this up with them. I'm not gonna address this. It's just too much trouble. But Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, be faithful where you are now. Be faithful now. Live and teach the gospel according to the Scriptures now. And the thing about this is, each of us has been given a ministry from the Lord. It could be small, could be unnoticed. It could be big and it could be public. But whatever it may be, whatever ministry has been given to you by the Lord, whether it's in your home or with your friends, we are called to do it with all our ability and with all our strength. And that ministry is to include sharing the Word of God with others. Specifically, though, Paul wants Timothy to devote himself to the public reading and the public teachings of the Scriptures. And this public reading of the Scriptures would have applied both to the Old Testament Scriptures, which they had, and also to whatever New Testament Scriptures they were in possession of. You know, we see this in some of Paul's letters. Paul says, read the letter that I wrote to so-and-so, and, you know, switch letters, basically. Make sure you're reading this stuff that I'm sending to you. So that's what they would have done. Timothy is called to teach the Word of God. That is the core and the heart of his ministry. Because it is the Word of God that has the power to transform lives. Exhortation and teaching that Paul refers to here, they seem to be different aspects of teaching the Word of God. You know, it might be like exhortation is about, it seems to be, the exhortation would be maybe application, right? Calling the hearers to respond to the Word of God. It's calling for obedience. Teaching is about teaching the principles and the doctrines of Scripture. And so as we know what the Scripture says and what it means, we are able to apply it to our lives and to our current situation. That's what Paul is driving Timothy towards. Believers need to know the Scriptures and they need to respond to the Scriptures. What Scripture commands, we are bound to hear and to obey. Now, Timothy was set apart for this purpose, for this kind of teaching and applying the Scriptures to the lives of God's people. His gift that he had, Paul says, don't neglect the gift that is in you, or the gift that you have. His gift is probably related to his ordination, right? It was something given to him by God, something that he was called to do. Probably has something to do with teaching and leadership in the church. And so even though Timothy is young, he must remember that God is the one who has called him to the ministry of teaching and leading the church. That was probably an encouragement to Timothy. There were probably moments where he wondered, why am I in this situation? And Paul says, you're here because God has called you here. This is where God wants you. This is what he wants you to do today. Now, Timothy's situation is interesting because he was chosen by revelation from God. And like, none of us have that, right? None of us were actually, we didn't get new revelation from God saying, put so-and-so into a position of ministry. That doesn't happen to us, right? But this did happen at the time of the apostles. And we see this in Acts 13, too. It says, while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Probably something similar has happened to Timothy. The Holy Spirit has set him apart and said, set Timothy apart to the work that I have called him to do. And Paul is calling Timothy to look back on that calling and say, yes, this is my calling. This is what I've been called to do. Now, none of us has that. We weren't chosen for ministry by direct revelation from God. But each of us, nevertheless, has a calling. Each of us has a gift. And God's gifts that are given to his people are meant to be used for the glory of his kingdom. Neglecting the gifts that God has given to us comes from laziness. And so we are called to look at the gifts that God has given to us. And we should seek to use those gifts for his kingdom and for his glory. And that is how we live and teach the gospel. We do it by using the calling that God has given to us. Minister the word in whatever calling God has placed you in, wherever you may be, and do it for his glory. Timothy is called to live and teach the gospel first by word and example. Second, he's called to live and teach the gospel according to the scriptures. And finally, he is called to live and teach the gospel by perseverance. Live and teach the gospel by perseverance. Look with me at verses 15 and 16. Paul says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now these are very, very direct words from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Living and teaching the gospel takes practice. We are called to ponder the truth of the gospel. We are called to be diligent in obedience to the truth of the gospel. And for Timothy, being a pastor was hard work. And yet he was to immerse himself in the things that he had learned from Paul. He is to immerse himself in the scriptures, ponder them, spend time with them, know them. He's called to apply himself diligently with perseverance, to dedicate himself to the work of the ministry. Yes, it would take constant work for Timothy to do this. But he's to make himself well acquainted with the teachings of Paul and the teachings of Scripture, so much so that it becomes second nature to him. That this is like his knee-jerk reaction. You know, whatever situation he gets into, whether it be teaching or you know, pastoral counseling, whatever situation he was called to in the church in Ephesus, his knee-jerk reaction was to be to turn people back to the Word of God. Because he was so immersed in it. And he was to persevere in that kind of work. We are called to do the same in whatever ministry has been given to us. We cannot grow lazy in our life or in our teaching. We must strive to make daily progress. We must strive to continually grow in the things that God is teaching us. Brothers and sisters, I guarantee God is teaching you something this week. What is that thing that God is teaching you, whether it be from his word or through the counsels of a friend? Whatever it is that God is teaching you, learn it and grow in it. Because that is what we are called to do. We are called to persevere in what God is calling us to grow in. And the thing about this is it doesn't happen by accident, does it? We have to be intentional. every day should see us making at least a little progress. You know, Calvin says this at one point in his little book. We must have looked at it at some point in our Thursday studies together. At some point he says, whether we're crawling along, let's make a little progress today. Tomorrow will see us a little bit further along. And I think that's the encouraging thing about progress in the Christian life. We don't always grow by leaps and bounds, do we? Like, sometimes we do, and those are great moments. And we can praise God for His grace when He sort of pushes us along and learning and growing seems easy. But there are other days when we're just kind of slogging it out. And that's okay. Every day will see us a little bit further along. Read the Scriptures daily. Every day, take an instruction or principle of Scripture and seek to apply it to your life. We want to be people who are marked by progress in knowing the Word and in growing in obedience. And you know, if you need someone to hold you accountable, another believer that you trust, then let them hold you accountable to make progress, whatever that may be, whatever it is that you need to grow in. Don't be afraid. Talk to other believers. You know, be that iron sharpening iron together. Be the person who sharpens the countenance of his friend. Timothy must teach right doctrine, and he must also keep himself pure. He must persevere both in doctrine and in purity. And the two go together, don't they? Like, the two are directly connected. In the work of the ministry, it doesn't do any good to have one without the other. Plenty of pastors have had right doctrine, but lack of purity. And it has brought shipwreck to their own lives and to the ministry of the Word. And, you know, it's also possible to have purity and holiness of life, but to lack the ability to teach right doctrine. And what Paul is calling Timothy to do is to grow in both, persevere in both. Grow in progress in the work of the ministry by having both sound teaching and living an obedient life before the Lord. And yes, none of us is perfect, right, as we seek to grow in our obedience. But that's why we confess our sins. That's why we do that every Sunday together. To remind ourselves that, yes, we are not perfect, but Jesus Christ has covered all of our sins. And so let us be found again and again in the place of confession, moving forward and striving after obedience to our Master. As Paul comes to a close here in verse 16, it sounds a little bit strange because it sounds like Paul is talking about saving yourself and saving other people. Now, how does that work with the fact we know that salvation is of the Lord? Obviously, Paul knew that and Paul taught that. And so I think what Paul is doing here is very simply calling Timothy to perseverance. He's saying, Timothy, you must embrace the truth and you must persevere in the truth. And this will happen for Timothy as he follows, first of all, Paul's teachings, but also as he follows the Scripture. What people need to see is his growth and his perseverance in the Christian life. And this is how he will work out his own salvation and how he will help others to do the same. We, like Timothy, are called to faithfully serve Christ by living and teaching the gospel in whatever situation we are in. We are called to do this by our words and by our examples. We are called to do this according to the Scriptures. It is not ourselves that we present, but it is the Word of God. It is Jesus Christ. We are called to live and to teach the gospel by our perseverance, both in our teaching and in our holiness. Our Heavenly Master has given us work to do, each and every one of us. And so until He returns, let us be found faithfully doing His work each and every day. Amen.